greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to have the Bible, and that we can look into it and receive a message from God's Word this morning. I had to make a trip to Baltimore to the airport here this past week, and on the way home, I came behind a van that had a number of names on the sticker, and then below that it said, "Amigos the Devil." And I shuddered to think that someone would want to advertise that they're a friend of the devil. This morning I'm glad that we're a friend of Jesus Christ, and I greet you in His name. I also read just in about 3 days ago something that I had a hard time trying to understand, that some scientists claim that they figured out when humans and animals became two distinct races, or whatever you want to call them, and it happened 600 million years ago. I said, then you read Genesis 1. We believe the Bible account. We don't believe in this theories of mankind. Now, another question I have for you this morning is, did you ever say, it just so happened? Maybe you went to the hardware store, it just so happened I met Brother Vince there. Say that already? Do you believe that? No, it didn't just so happen. And this morning we want to look at some things that were prophesied in Scripture over 3,500 years ago, and it didn't just so happen, but they will happen because God said they're going to happen. Some of them already did, and there's some that are coming. And these charts that the boys are handing out have this title of the Jewish feast, the set feast of Jehovah, and you find them in Leviticus 23. You may turn there, Leviticus 23. Approximately 2 years ago, I preached a message on these set feasts, and I tried to cover all seven of them in one message, but it was probably a big mistake. And so we're going to just look mainly at the ones that are not fulfilled yet, and that would be the last three. You see the blue column in the middle of the paper, which is the church age, and then we have the feasts that need to be fulfilled yet. I want to read from Leviticus 23. The first feast that we're going to be talking about is the Feast of Trumpets, or the Jewish name for that is Rosh Hashanah. And that's found in Leviticus 23, starting at verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath of memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, you have studied Jewish history some, and you know that the blowing of the trumpet meant different things. But one of the things that the blowing of the trumpet meant was it's time to move. The people were to get ready to move to a new camp in the wilderness. When they moved around from place to place, before they moved, they blew the trumpet. And before there was a solemn assembly and so on, they blew the trumpet. This trumpet, a Feast of Trumpets, is the next thing that's going to happen to the Christian church in the future here. And we can read about that. First, I want to read this scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15. You have them printed there for you. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to read from verse 51 on. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This scripture here is telling us that the trumpet will sound. It's also telling us that it's going to happen quick. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when the trump sounds, there will not be any time to get ready. We need to be ready for that time. You may also turn over to a scripture that's at the bottom there, 1 Thessalonians 4. And I want to look at that and compare it with this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about this same part, the rapture of the Christians. Starting in verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and that word means precede or go ahead of them which are asleep. In other words, those folks that are buried out here in the graveyard that are Christians, were Christians when they lived, and the Lord comes from heaven with a shout and a trump sounds, the graves are going to open and they're going to rise first and meet the Lord. And then, we'll read here, then you and I will rise. He said, okay, for this we say that not they will not go ahead of them which are asleep, those that have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. When the trumpet blew, I said it was time for God's people to move. And when the trumpet blows here, God's people will move. The trumpet of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then you and I, which are still alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's a comfort to you and to me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it wonderful that God has given this way back? Let me finish this thought first. God has given this in the scripture for our admonition and for our information and our benefit so that we can be ready when that time comes. And I said that there's nothing that just so happened, and this is not something that's just going to happen. It will happen according to God's plan. And I wanted to say that this back here in Leviticus 23, these feasts were given in, according to my Bible, in 1490 B.C. 1490 B.C. at 2025, for where we're at, makes 3,515 years ago that God gave this prophecy, these feasts, so that, and we have the translation into what it means for us today, and that he had this all planned long before. And there's nothing that just so happens in God's plan. Nothing. And there's nothing that just so happens to you and I as a Christian today. This is, God has laid it out exactly like it will be, and that's the way it will be. And we need to be ready for that time. I also want to look and turn to John 14. John 14 is a passage that we use for comfort oftentimes in a time of death, time of a someone's passing. And I'm going to look at here the first couple verses. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me," in Jesus Christ. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's for you and for me, for all those who are ready. "And if I go to prepare a place for you," now here's three things he says in the end of verse 3 that we want you to notice. First thing is, "I will come again." The second thing he said is, "I will receive you unto myself." And the third thing he said there is that where I am, there you may be also. Now turn back to 1 Thessalonians 4. We see this in John 14. This was a promise of what's to come. In 1 Thessalonians, it's also to come, but we want to see the fulfillment of the three promises that he made in John chapter 14, verse 3. He said, "I will come again." Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The Lord is coming back. He will come again, and in 1 Thessalonians, he is coming again. And then he says, "And I will receive you unto myself." And then verse 17, "They which are the end of verse 16, "The dead in Christ will rise first." He's receiving them unto himself. And verse 17, "They which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." And so he receives us unto himself. And then he said, the third promise was that where I am, there you may be also. And then it says, to meet the Lord in the air, he's received, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Doesn't that warm your heart this morning? That these promises that God gave back in John 14 are spelled out here how it's going to happen in 1 Thessalonians 4. I think that should warm all of our hearts. We should have... I just love these scriptures, and I take great comfort in that. I did a little figuring. I took the directory this morning, and I counted the number of people that are here in this congregation that have a close relative out here under the dirt. How many do you think it came to? I'm thinking about spouse, thinking about fathers, mothers, grandparents, and close in-laws, like a brother-in-law, sister-in-law. An astounding number to me. 92 people in this congregation are related closely to someone out here. But the promise we have from God himself is that he will come again. He is going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we'll be together. We'll be caught up. Those that love the Lord and are faithful to him will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And again, that's a comfort. And it's not just going to just so happen. It's something that God has planned from the beginning, from the foundations of the, before the foundation of the world. And it's a promise for us today. And we can trust in that promise. Okay. That's the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet call was for people to move. And it will be again. The trumpet will sound and we will move, those who are right with God. That's a wonderful promise. The next one we want to look at then is the Day of Atonement, and Yom Kippur. And turn to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. And we have verse 10, and then on through all of chapter 13. Zechariah 12:10, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day will be a great mourning for Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadarim in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and the families that remain, and every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lamb, the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that any shall yet prophesy, that begat him shall say unto them, Thou shalt not live, for thou hast spoken lies in the name of the Lord, and the father and his mother, and they begat him, shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of their vision, and when they have prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, and I am a husband, and a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, Where are these wounds in thy hand? What are these wounds in thy hand? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, and saith the Lord of hosts, and smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that all in that land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Now, turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and we want to read from verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the habitations of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness in her place, which she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, that's 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out the mouth of water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what we call the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. And if we would go back into Daniel chapter 9, I guess we hardly have time to do that. But in Daniel chapter 9, it tells us exactly about the tribulation, about the different the years and so on. And it gives, the scripture says that there's 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Daniel was a Jew, and so it's this message is to the Jewish nation. 70 weeks determined, and then it goes on and talks about the 49 years, these weeks translated into years, and from the going of the commandment to build Jerusalem and so on, 49 years, and then we have 62 more weeks, which is 430 years, that go through the period where the second temple was, and we have 7 years remaining, and that's the 7 years, or 1 week, or 7 years that the tribulation period, which this is talking about. If we had more time, we could read all them scriptures, but I don't want to take that time because we have other things yet. Jeremiah 30. Oh, wait, back here. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, at last for that great day. That day is great, so that none is like it, and even unto the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. That is, Jacob's trouble is referring to the tribulation period. And then we have the verse in Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. We could read more, but I'm going to stop there because of the time. And so we have, during this tribulation period, we believe, I believe firmly, that the rapture, which we looked at there under the Feast of Trumpets, which represents the rapture in our time, is going to happen before the tribulation period. The tribulation period, we know from Scripture, is divided into two periods. It's a seven-year period divided into two equal times, 3.5 years and then 3.5 years. And this Antichrist that is not revealed yet but will be revealed makes a covenant with the Jewish people to build a new temple. And they do that in the first 3.5 year period, and the sacrificial system is again put in place, and the worship there, and then he breaks that covenant in the middle of the 3 years, or the middle of the 7 years, the 3.5 years. He breaks the covenant, and the last 3.5 years are terrible years of persecution for the Jewish people. Again, you don't need to fear the tribulation period, because as a Christian today, you will be raptured from this world before that comes to pass. That's my firm belief. There's other people that believe different than I do, but I believe I can support that from the scripture. And then the last one we want to look at yet is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booth, and that's in Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16, says this, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of the nations that came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King and the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, we believe this translates into the millennium period, the thousand-year reign that where Jesus will reign upon the earth. Revelation 21. Oh, I'm sorry, yes, Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and shall be, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And then we have also Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I saw a heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him was called Faithful and True. Righteousness, he does judge the nation and make war. Judge and make war. And his eyes are as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ, none other. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, and that's you and I, because we're raptured and we're coming back with Jesus Christ, and we're going to follow him on white horses. And if you never rode a horse, you will then, and you'll do all right. Don't worry about being thrown off. Clothed in white linen and white and clean, and out of this mouth goes a sharp sword, and that he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, and we will be there with him. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verses 1 through 6. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. This is introducing the 1,000 years. And a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. I want to stop right there and interject something right here. Someone once said, what kind of chain would it take to bind the devil with all his power? You know what this other man said? A paper chain will do it if God says so. Do you believe that? I believe it. A paper chain will bind the devil if God says so. But the scripture says he has a great chain in his hand. He will bind the devil, no problem. And he'll cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark on their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Not only is the devil bound, but we as Christians will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. One more scripture, Revelation 17. And verse 14, Revelation 17, verse 14. Well, that's not good. I can get these pages apart here.